Peace and greetings. Welcome to the Street 16 Podcast. The Street 16 Podcast is a platform where urban adults get to share their voices on a variety of topics that's relevant to our world. We've been doing this for a while now, and I'd like to say thank you to all my friends, supporters, listeners, and the Street 16 staff here at the Rose Recording Studio in Virginia Beach, Virginia. So I want to introduce my friends today so that they can get lit and run their mouth.
Always.
Like we love them to do. I'm going to start with my brother to the right, Jeff McCoy.
Yo, big up. What's going on, everybody? Mike, you are way too old to be using the word lit.
Don't do that. Don't do that.
I'm just saying.
Wow.
Mike, you've lit every day.
Thank you. Thank you for your endorsement.
And they're going to get lit.
I feel like I feel like Jeff might be right on this. So, as my sister says, you got to eat it. And speaking of which, the lovely Miss Key Crawford.
Hey, hey, hey.
How you doing, sister?
I'm good. How are you?
Rocking that. I'm great. Rocking that black and green. She looks lovely, y'all. Smile at the camera for him. Smile at the camera. And I just want to say thank you to the Irish press for sending such lovely-looking women to come ask us questions. Look at the way she smiles. She must treat y'all good, doesn't she?
Straight from Dublin.
Pause.
South Derry. In the building.
Smart jokes. Love people who get smart jokes. Speaking of smart, Dante Cooper couldn't be here. Nah, I'm just
kidding.
Hey! We got another light-skinned substitution in the light-skinned category. I say that tongue-in-cheek, pause, because we're going to come back to that.
Okay.
White boy.
Oh, yeah.
Marco Valencia.
Yo, what's going on? And since me and Mike run about the same age, instead of using lit, we use toe out the frame.
Wait, say that again?
Toe out the frame.
Tell the old people that's too many syllables, man.
Toe out the frame? What's wrong with that?
People type, man. I ain't got time
toe
for all
up
those.
The frame?
Yeah, that's half a tweet.
Okay. Well, how about that? OOC.
What that stand for?
Out of control.
I thought it was ooch.
She wally wally. She bang bang.
Real quick, I want to give a shout out to my engineer, Chris Stassi.
Yeah.
Tell Chris that when he puts a black fist in the air, it was a left fist, by the way, that the people on Radio Land can't hear that.
You need to leave that man alone. Uh-oh. Let him be great.
What? Negative 35.
Negative 35 from Chris.
Yo, the thing I love about Key is anytime you get on somebody, she come through.
I am the defender.
Reinforce.
Unless you talk about me.
Jeff, I'm the hardest on you because I really do want you to be great. And your version of great, there's some things going on there. Nah, like, I want you to be great, Jeff.
I am great. You're not seeing it yet.
Look, Jeff, I am hard on you because I love you.
Heard that tough love.
Yo, so look, man, on the way to the studio this morning, me and Marco, we in the car, and me being the grumpy old dictatorship that I am, I said, Marco, man, while I'm driving, won't you take some notes for me?
Mm-hmm.
And we listened to 15 previous segments of the Street 16 podcast, which you can go back and find the old segments if you like and subscribe to the channel and get the alerts and feedback.
Street16magazine.com.
Thank you, my brother. And out of those 15 segments, I had him check no to 9 segments. I had him check yes to 5 segments. Had him check yes and no to 1 segment. I asked him, you have any idea what the yes or the no's stand for? Did you come up with anything?
I think Jeff came up with something, though.
Yeah, but I have no idea. I'm pulling stuff out the air.
Well, it's so cryptic, you know what I'm saying?
So relatability to the segment or jumping in at a certain point and being able to know exactly what we're talking about at said point in time?
That's what the yes or no's think are?
Is it coughing?
Well, that's what I checked first.
Well, why didn't you say that?
Because I was like,
that sounds like a problem with post production.
Yo, listen, man. Look. Point taken on post production, but Key, Don't let Marco get away with this. I know you, Mr. Defender, and you only like to take shots at Jeff, even though sometimes you shoot me too.
But, no, I don't.
But I know you know Marco the least out of all of us, but how can he take credit and say, I had that answer too, sir? I had that answer too.
Okay, hold on. Let me explain myself.
After the reason why answer,
I was thinking about coughing, right? But the thing about it is, I was only on like two segments.
Right.
So I went on the other jumps because I couldn't make it here. But the point is, I was like,
so you thinking that the list is only about if you cough? You think everybody else's cough? Since Key is so pretty, her coughs come out on the microphone like buttermilk.
But I ain't heard it though.
You ain't heard her cough?
No.
Okay. For the audience, if you don't know what we're talking about, this is inside the third wall, but I tell my friends, lovingly, even though I'm the grumpy old dictatorship, I tell them, please don't cough on the radio. You know, scratching your throat, things like that. And we deduct points playfully, but seriously, too. And so, Marco and Jeff, we've had discussions about this off the air. And so, Key and Marco claim that they guess the no's were for segments where nobody coughed, and the yeses were for segments where someone did cough, which is a good guess, but it is incorrect.
Okay.
But it did lead us to get to talk about coughing, which I'm sure the audience enjoyed.
Okay.
God damn it. Right on time. Okay, so look, my family and I, we talked about this on the conference call. Jeff has been the ringleader of this subject, and the subject is appropriations, cultural appropriations.
Yes.
And it's a lot of information and material about that. They have the quote-unquote biggest offenders. You know, I saw Katy Perry, and I saw Miley Cyrus. I saw Kim Kardashian or Jenna Kardashian or whichever one they was. And one that was interesting to me that I came across was the Washington Redskins, who just had a Supreme Court decision go in their favor, because some Native Americans felt like the Washington Redskins logo and name is offensive to Native Americans. There is one journalist on ESPN Miami, Dan Lebatard, who, whenever he refers to the Washington professional football team, he calls them the Washington racial slurs instead of Redskins. So that's an interesting one that I came across. But, Jeff, I'm going to go to you.
Okay.
You seem like you were passionate about this subject. Won't you tell the audience why, please?
I think at the end of the day, especially being black, as a culture, not that we haven't lent great things and built this country, but on the surface, it seems a lot of the time like our culture is all that we have. As great and profound as that culture is, and as much as it has become the mainstream, you know, when something's yours, it's yours, i.e. the N-word. But anyway, when something's yours, it's yours. And using that style and that culture, not being in and of that culture for financial gain, it's not cool. I mean, to me, you know, in my own personal opinion, it's not.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad of a grievance, of a racial grievance, is it? Or does it depend?
I don't think it depends. I think it rates pretty high. It rates pretty high on a 7 to 8 if you really take the situation and look at it for what it is. But just on the level, I don't think it gets paid enough attention to.
7 to 8. Is that too high or too low, Sister Key?
Okay. I want to backtrack for a minute before I answer that, only because I feel like we hear the term thrown around so much, and there are a lot of people who might not understand what it means. So I pulled it up online, and you guys can do the same thing. And then I'm going to read it to you just so you can understand what the definition of it is, and then I'm going to attack that question. So what I have for cultural appropriation is, it's the adoption or use of the elements of one culture by members of another culture. Often, the original meaning of these cultural elements is lost or distorted, and such displays are often viewed as disrespectful by members of the originating culture or even as a form of desecration. So, if you've heard the term and you don't understand what it means, I really do feel like this is spot on. And for me, before I address your question. It weighs heavily into things that I've heard. You'll hear white people say, well, black girls wear straight hair. Or they will wear weaves. Here's the issue. We don't choose to wear straight hair because we felt like it was necessary for us to have 37 inches of blonde hair flowing down our backs. The issue was that our natural hair in its natural state, be it with all the volume or curls or whatever else, was deemed unprofessional. It was deemed unattractive. It was deemed all of these things that kept us from being able to function in regular day-to-day life. That is the issue. That's when it becomes appropriation, when we can't wear our hair in its natural state, but the Kardashians can wear their hair in braids, something that has been tracked back for hundreds of thousands of years by African-American peoples or African peoples. And at the end of the day, it was deemed not attractive or not professional, but then you can throw a new name on it and call it boxer braids or whatever else you want to call it. And now all of a sudden it's faddish. Marc Jacobs did it. There were some models for the Chanel runway that did it. And it was deemed something different other than what it was literal cornrows or however you want to call it. It was braids. But because it was on a runway or because it was by another group of people, now all of a sudden it's attractive. And it's funny because you had a conversation with me last week in regards to women who can go to the Bahamas or go to any of these islands, and what does it mean if they get these braids done while they're on vacation, while they're having a good time, do they take them out before they go to work? And that's an issue. Rock them braids, boo. But if you feel like you need to take your braids out after your Bahamas trip with your homegirls after turning up and smoking or doing whatever else or rubbing on black muscles, but as soon as you hit that professional, like, aspect of your, the, you go back to work and now all of a sudden you got to take those cornrows out, that's appropriation. If you do not feel comfortable wearing this in your day-to-day life, if you do not feel comfortable being in this way every day, that's when it's appropriation, Marco, if you don't understand.
Excuse me, Marco, I'm going to come to you after the break. On a scale of 1 to 10, what number for you?
I'll say 8.
Okay. We'll be right back after the break. Street 16. Street 16 Podcast. Welcome back. I am Michael Barcliff along with Jeff McCoy, Keith Crawford, Marco Valencia, talking about cultural appropriation. When the dominant culture basically steals some stuff from the minority culture, recycles it, profits off it. Elvis, Eminem,
Pat Boone.
The list goes on.
I think Eminem's of the culture, though.
Okay, well, we'll come back to that. On a scale of 1 to 10, Jeff said it's a 7 or 8. Keith Crawford passionately said it was an 8. There's some people that might think it's a lot lower than that in the black community, and I've seen some debate about this, because some people may say, you know what? I don't care how Kim Kardashian wears her hair. I mean, you know, niggas got kids and bills and jobs, and, you know, you also got mass incarceration and redlining and, you know, Black Lives Matter, police murders. Some people are like, yo, man, that's a toenail problem. How you gonna argue about an ingrown toenail when you got heart disease, kidney failure, and liver? They need a liver transplant.
Because an ingrown toenail may cause gangrene.
Mm-hmm. It's Bob Marley.
It's a bigger, yeah, right.
Bob
Marley. It's a part of a bigger story. I think, then that's why I said 8, personally. Maybe less on the mainstream, because people look at it as a tonal issue when in actuality it's not. It all feeds into the psychology of being a minority in this country and what comes along with that.
Can you add on real quick before we go back to Jeff?
I'd probably give it like a 5. The reason why is because the United States, the way they got this country, they wiped the Indians out. Now, my daughter's half Indian. She's from the Lumbee tribe. So she's from a small tribe down in North Carolina, you know what I'm saying, that made it, actually made it. But for the United States of America, in their capital,
to take the name Redskins, are they coming to their guilt? Is that what it is? What if we had a team in Washington, D.C., like, you know, niggas?
Jigaboos.
Yeah, jigaboos. You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying? Then what would we be saying about that? And to go to your comment, Key, about the hair. Now, you have people like Angela Davis. And no, you don't need to wear your hair straight and all that to go to the white man and be like, all right, I'm part of you. No, you know what? This is my culture. This is who I am. This is who I'm going to be. I cannot accept that I have to conform to what you want me to be. You can't ask me to lose my culture.
But they don't have to accept giving you a check.
You right about that.
You know what I mean? So, like, there's got to be some play in that.
The thing is, we're mm-hmm. saying that from right now. Mm-hmm. Right now, things mm-hmm. have developed. Things have changed. Like, the natural hair movement is a lot different, but 20 years ago, it was either wear your fro or work.
5 years ago.
You know what I mean? Like, okay. You're right. And, like, I definitely am pinpointing more of extreme cases, but the reality is, this is new.
Okay, let me say this. My sister wore an afro in the early 80s still, coming from the 70s.
Is your sister as fair-skinned as you are? And I'm not even, she is. There are so many other aspects that come into play mm-hmm. when it comes to that. But we talking about, like, Auntie Bertha, and I'm not saying she big or any other stereotypes, yeah. but, like, somebody who comes from, like, the deep south, got that dark skin, those thick hips, those thick lips, like, all those great things about us mm-hmm. that they want to make popular now that wasn't popular
You're right. You know what I mean?
And it was like, okay, so if I'm already dark and I've got wide hips and I talk with a little bit of whatever in my voice, mm-hmm. I can't have my curly hair because it's going to impede on me working.
Yeah, well, look.
These like are the things movie, we're talking about.
I was watching the movie Philadelphia with Tom Hanks, right? And that was about when he was a lawyer and had AIDS or whatever. And he had a black woman in the firm that he was suing moved up into the company, right? And you know what they told her? They told her her earrings that she was wearing was too ethnic. You see what I'm saying? For the business place. And the head lawyer at the place sent his secretary to talk to the black woman to say, can you wear earrings that's not so ethnic, that are more American? And you know what she said to him? They are American. African-American. You see what I'm saying?
Right, and that was a good answer. Not as good as Jeff answers about the toenail problem can lead to gangrene, but that's why he's the great Jeff McCoy.
Oh, he had my vote from last week. Remember I told you?
Shout out to myself. And he's rocking in my greatness.
And he's rocking a nice Guns N' Roses.
Nice.
Shirt. I forgot to appropriate this T-shirt today.
Yeah, because we are at the Rose
but
Recording
it's not
Studio.
Appropriation. And
I'm not profiting off of wearing
you,
this
You
shirt.
Are not
yeah,
benefiting
no.
in any way. You might enjoy the music, but at the end of the day, what are you gaining, Jeff?
What's your favorite Guns N' Roses? This song, quick.
November Rain.
What is it?
November Rain.
Okay. I thought I might could catch him out.
Nah, there. I'm not that guy. Like, I don't represent anything that I don't know anything about.
All right.
You know what I mean? Yeah, November Rain, early.
I like Mrs.
Brown. Long as hell.
I like Mrs. Brown, still.
I like that one.
What about you, Keith? We'll be back after this break. Street 16. Peace. Welcome back. Street 16. Yeah, this is the Urban Adult Podcast. So, you know, we talk about things that's relevant to our lives. We just started talking about cultural appropriation and during the break, people shooting ideas at each other. You know, yo, this is a dope topic. It's going to go on forever. But one thing that I wanted to come back to is this list of segments that we've done on our podcast. It's a list of 15 segments. 9 of these segments, I've checked no. 5 of these segments, I've checked yes. 1 of these segments, I've checked yes and no. I asked the people if they can guess what I am looking for. So far, we had 2 guesses. 1 was coughing.
Can I cough now?
Please, go ahead.
Thank you.
Ew.
Because Corfin is distracting on podcast. The other one was some crazy long-winded answer that Jeff gave that I don't even remember that scored a zero on the
list. Was I not great?
Oh my goodness. So it would be no on every
before exactly. Was I not great? No on every second.
Before I reveal it, because it's a decent answer. Before I reveal it, anybody got a last guess?
Not.
Well, the answer is race. I went back and I reviewed the subject matter on each segment, and I asked myself, did we talk about race in this segment? 9 segments were no, we did not. 5 segments, yes, we did. 1 segment, we kind of sort of did. Is that surprising?
With an all black panel.
Well, okay, I think that it's nice to hear. I mean, we've talked behind the scenes, and a lot of times, like, I felt like in an urban market, not necessarily an African-American market, we're in an urban market, and we talk about urban things, and being all-inclusive is a good look. Again, I work in a field to where I see all types, and I talk to all types about the podcast, and I've had all types sign up. I think the first 5 followers since we started doing this are white. So I was always a little trepidatious, big word, you owe me a dollar key, a little trepidatious about being too heavy on race.
If we feel like we're too heavy on it, white people gonna feel
excluded.
Mm-hmm.
Excluded. And I feel like the messages that we're sending, the things that we're talking about are heavy for everybody, and it should be as all-inclusive as possible. They want to...
So 2-1, our segments have not touched on race. Is there an argument to say, well, damn, they're not doing enough? They're not speaking on it enough?
No, I mean, I think a big part of being urban and having a stage to voice your opinions, cares, and concerns on all things urban, race is a piece of that. I don't think it's necessarily in 2017, it doesn't have to be the cornerstone of our platform.
Look, I agree with you 100% because it is 2017, right? And racism virtually shouldn't even be an issue anymore. Cities are in a big melting pot of all conglomerates of people. And we all, like me and Key was talking about, this is the United States of America. Everybody is an immigrant here.
Sister Key. 2-1, we have not discussed race. Does that mean we right where we need to be?
Here's the issue for me. We always discuss black or white, black versus white, black and white. I feel like there are a lot of other races that feel like they're going to be neglected, and that's a constant trend where there are other races that exist here, and we don't necessarily touch on those. Not that we're right or wrong, we just don't.
Thank you for listening. This is the Street 16 Podcast. For Jeff McCoy, Marco Valencia, Key Crawford, my favorite panelist, even when she's shooting shots at me. I am Michael Barcliff, your 4-time baby daddy, underground hip-hop icon and author of Voiceless, the Journal of an Underground Starving Artist. Thank you for listening. We'll see you next time.